1 Kings, chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 13. Okay, 1 Kings, chapter 11. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter: Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, "Since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David, your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe, for the sake of David, my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, whom I have chosen."
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We pray now that by the power of your Spirit, we may understand it and believe it and take it to our hearts and be transformed by it more into the likeness of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. How the mighty are fallen. This phrase was used by King David following the death of Saul and Jonathan. The phrase had great meaning in David's day, but it aptly describes the end of Solomon's reign. Solomon was once great and powerful, God's man, God's leader for the nation. But now, here in 1 Kings 11, we see how Solomon, despite all of his blessings, we see Solomon falling away spiritually, worshipping false gods. This is a tragic part of the Bible. The basic problem for Solomon is in verse 1. King Solomon, however, despite his great splendor, despite all the ways in which God has blessed him, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women. Solomon had a weakness for women. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, whom he'd first married, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, verse 2, they were from the nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." It's the same today. If we want to be followers of Jesus, we need to marry partners who also want to follow Jesus. God had said all along, "Don't marry people from the nations who don't love God." Nevertheless, end of verse 2, Solomon held fast to them, to his wives, in love. So how many foreign wives did Solomon have? Can you see in verse 3? He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. Concubines were like lesser wives. In verse 4, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. David was not a brilliant example. He was a murderer and an adulterer. But David knew the Lord. David repented when he sinned. David always came back to God. Solomon was much worse than David. He started off well. He built the temple. He led Israel in worship of the true God. But in old age, he ended his life very badly. He ends his life as an idolater. He ends his life worshipping false gods, verse 5. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. The goddess Ashtoreth was the goddess of fertility. Worship of her involved great sexual immorality. The worship of Molech involved child sacrifice. This idolatry was about as bad as you can get. Verse 6. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives who burned incense and offered sacrifice to their gods. Worship at high places was a common and disastrous practice in ancient Israel. Solomon was very foolish to do this. Verse 9. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who had appeared to him twice. Solomon was greatly blessed. He belonged to the nation of Israel. He knew the one true God. God had appeared to Solomon twice. The first time in 1 Kings 3, verse 5, God said to Solomon, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." And what did Solomon ask for? Who knows? Yes, Zach. He asked for wisdom. That's right. Solomon asked for wisdom and God gave it to him. The second time God appeared to Solomon was in 1 Kings 9, verse 3. This time, God promised Solomon that if he remained faithful to God and if he did all God commanded, God would establish Solomon's royal throne forever. But God warned Solomon in 1 Kings 9, 6 and following, that if Solomon turned away from God and did not obey God, and specifically, if Solomon worshipped false gods, 1 Kings 9, 7, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them and will reject this temple. And Israel would become an example of what happens when a nation turns away from God. they will be destroyed in warfare. God clearly warned Solomon that if he went after false foreign gods, disaster would overcome the nation. Back in 1 Kings 11, verse 10, although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my command, my covenant, and my decrees which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. This will be a terrible disaster for Solomon. The kingdom will be torn away from his family. Nevertheless, verse 12, for the sake of David your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David my servant and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. So because of Solomon's sin, because of Solomon's worship of false gods, God will tear most of the kingdom away from Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And he will leave Solomon's dynasty, Solomon's family, with just one tribe, just the tribe of Judah. How does all this apply to us? Three things to say. Obedience is essential. God's punishment is real, and therefore we need Jesus. Firstly, then, obedience is essential. Solomon just didn't obey, did he? Jesus said to his disciples in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. I don't know if you know the story of Gladys Aylward. Gladys Aylward was a missionary in China during and after World War II. There's been a film made of Gladys's ministry in China. She suffered terribly during her journey across the mountains of China in order to bring 100 orphans to safety in Xi'an, in Shaanxi. These children were saved because of Gladys's obedience to God. But it was not without cost. When Gladys arrived in Xi'an with the children, she was gravely ill and almost delirious. She suffered internal injuries from a beating by the Japanese invaders. She suffered several other serious illnesses. Through her ordeal, Gladys learned to choose Christ over anything else life had to offer. So much so that when the man she loved, Colonel Linen, came to visit her in Xi'an as she was recovering and asked her to marry him, she declined. She knew she couldn't marry him and continue the work God had given her to do among the children of China. Gladys knew obedience to God came first. It is essential to obey King Jesus. If we want to say that we love King Jesus, we must obey him. It's the same with our parents. If we love them, we'll obey their rules. And it's the same with King Jesus. We can't say we love him and then deliberately set out to disobey him. We all fail to obey perfectly. We all sin. But if we love King Jesus, we will want to obey him. We will want to please him in the world. Secondly, God's punishment is real. God promises Solomon his family will lose the kingship if Solomon disobeys God. Rico Tice said the following: I was once in Australia visiting a friend. He took me to a beach on Botany Bay, so I decided I had to go for a swim. I was just taking off my shirt when he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going for a swim." He said, "What about those signs?" And he pointed me to some signs I'd not really noticed. Danger. Sharks. With all the confidence of an Englishman abroad, I said, "Don't be ridiculous. I'll be fine." He said, "Listen, mate, 200 Australians have died in shark attacks. You've got to decide whether those shark signs are there to save you or to ruin your fun. You're of age, you decide." I decided not to go for a swim. Rico continues, "Many of the words about hell are found in the Bible, and they're straight from Jesus' lips. They're a loving warning to us. The reason Jesus talked about hell is because he does not want people to go there. The reason Jesus died was so that people wouldn't have to go there. The only way to get to hell is to trample over the cross of Jesus." That's a great motivator for our evangelism. Matthew 25, 31 and following shows Jesus when he comes back. Jesus is coming back. And when he comes, he will sit on his glorious throne and he will judge the people. Matthew 25, 32. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And Jesus will say to those who love him, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance." But Jesus will say to those who don't love him, in Matthew 25, 41, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." God's punishment is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. If we think we can just disobey King Jesus, Jesus warns us. Jesus lovingly warns us. There is a place called hell, which has been prepared for the enemies of King Jesus. Obedience is essential. God's punishment is real. And therefore we need Jesus. We need Jesus because we've all disobeyed God. We all deserve to go to hell. And therefore we need Jesus to rescue us. Here's the good news of the gospel. Although we have disobeyed God and broken his laws and deserve hell, God has sent Jesus into the world to take our punishment. God sent Jesus to go to death on the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, all of my sin, for all the times I have disobeyed God, was put on Jesus. And Jesus took the punishment we deserve so we can be forgiven. So the big question this morning is Jesus your King? Do you love him? Are you serving him? Are you obeying him? Do you know that when Jesus died on the cross, he took your place? He took my place. Jesus took the punishment for our sin when he died on the cross. Have you ever come to Jesus and said, "I'm sorry for disobeying you. Please forgive me. Please make your death count for me. Please include me in all those for whom you died." Having been rescued by Jesus, we must all commit ourselves to obeying him. Everything goes wrong for Solomon when he decides to disobey God. We mustn't make the same mistake. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the loving warning of your word. We thank you for the loving warning of the Lord Jesus. Father, we see here how Solomon disobeyed you and fell away spiritually. Lord, grant that none of us would have that experience. Grant, Lord, that each one of us will trust in Jesus, will love Jesus, will obey Jesus, and serve him all the days of our lives. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you, Lord, as a body of people, and we pray that you will take us and use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.